Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Browns won yesterday, 18-13. Wasn't pretty. Got the job done.
Ooh, my voice cracking wasn't pretty.
Got the job done. Browns got the win. I'm happy. I'm not satisfied. I don't think anybody should be satisfied, but I think a lot of people are happy. And I do think, what type of Watson did you think we were going to get yesterday? Did you think we were going to get anything close to the game against Dallas? Because I actually did. I actually had a bad feeling yesterday. I'm going, man, I don't. I said it's got to be better than what he was against Dallas, but I thought he was going to do a lot worse than what he did. I thought we'd see an interception. There was no interception. I know that there was no touchdown pass, but they took care of it a little bit better. I mean, there were a couple of really good plays he made on the run. He had a throw to David Bell on that opening drive on the run that was really good. The one to Jerry Jeudy, which, by the way, two games in, I'm pretty good with the Jerry Jeudy experience so far. I'll say that. Not very thrilled with the Amari Cooper experience right now, which we'll talk about later on. But Jerry Jeudy so far, hey, all right, we'll take it. But when it comes to Watson, there were like two plays. I'm going, those are really good athletic plays. The one with Jeudy, I was nervous, and everybody else got nervous because it was like, man, that might have been picked. That should have been picked. Who knows how they see it? But I think that that's, hey, you get the guy. You want him to push the ball down the field. Those are the risks you're going to take. So you get the good with the scary, but it still ended up being good.
Ironically, the play of the game from Deshaun Watson might have just been a five-yard gain. That was an electric, elusive, moving around, frustrating for any of the Jacksonville defenders. And then the end, he just threw the ball. It was a five-yard gain to Jerry Jeudy, which was it was nice to see. Boy, the Jeudy thing, I did want to ask you because – like, he, to me, has looked like a number two wide receiver, and he's paid like a number two wide receiver.
Yeah.
I think your issue is if he ends up having to be a number one wide receiver next year. I don't consider him that. I think he's kind of proven that's not who he is in this league. But as a number two, yeah, sure. I think that works.
I would say so as well. 216-474-0092. Do you think that Watson's performance, was it acceptable yesterday? Not that you're going to be forced to accept it. Because if I were to say, well, was Watson good? Was Watson good? No.
I thought he was okay.
He wasn't bad. Was it acceptable?
I thought he had a couple great moments, like we just talked about. Obviously, the stats look a little better if Cooper doesn't drop that beautiful. He showed some touch on that throw. I don't know what's going on with Cooper. And, you know, it's probably something we're going to be talking about all week, to be honest. But, and he, you know, Cooper's someone who will address the media, always does. So that will be a prolonged story. But, you know, stats are always going to be better if you count, the guys don't drop balls. You know, that happens around the league. Overall, I thought he was just okay. I obviously would have liked to see more in the second half and more than one scoring drive, more than one touchdown drive, I should say. I mean, I think. Especially considering the field position that they had, the dominant way that defense played, I thought we were going to have way more going into the half than we did. So that's why I say there were some ups and downs. I did expect some improvement over week one, considering how bad week one was. So that was a low bar. He better be able to clear that low bar.
216-474-0092. Yeah, I found it to be, in comparison, my bar was not very high. I found it to be an acceptable performance compared to what it was before. And yes, that you did win. And you brought it up. Like, if that pass,
well, it torches
on
everything.
Third down, which was not a designed pass, which that pass on third down, if that would have been called a fumble, like that, yeah, that probably would have set fire to the entire thought of it because you're supposed to be able to trust your franchise quarterback. But
dude, people overall, would want him benched today. If that happened,
yes.
Every call
will want him benched now.
Every call would want him benched today.
Yeah,
so that is important. Like I as much as I said, you know, the Amari Cooper play, that obviously would have padded the stats a little better. They had some other drops where hands were on the ball, and I thought he was way more accurate yesterday. Still, there's something missing down the field. There's something missing in some of the awareness plays, and that one would have been critical. I mean, that would have been, considering that most around the NFL will not see Watson again, you know, here for a while until that Philly game, right? Like, everybody was watching last week when they played Dallas.
Maybe a little Raiders. Yeah, probably not.
At 4 o'clock, I got to see what other games are going
on. Not necessarily going to be the CBS Jim Nantz game, I'm sure, but either way.
Yeah, like the Browns could very well be 4-1. They're going to be a favorite, right? They're going to be favored in the next three games. So they're going to be 4-1, but fans will have only seen the Dallas Cowboy game, and so they're going to remember that one.
Yeah.
Unless he would have turned it over there yesterday. They would have all seen that too, because that would have been one of the defining plays of the weekend. Had Jacksonville have picked that off and taken it the other way, or if it were ruled a fumble and picked up, people would have said, what is going on with Deshaun Watson? Because his stat line, again, not that great.
216-474-0092. I think before we get to the phones, I have to clarify. Everything is taken in comparison. If I just go by the book, like, I don't want to beat up on Jason. This will be the second time I've referenced Lloyd this morning, and I don't want to do it all morning long because, you know, he's got his own agendas, he's got his own things, and he's more than welcome to come on. I saw the thing that what he had tweeted about Deshaun Watson's facilitator comment, being a facilitator, and how, you know, so much more is expected of that. If I make a comparison to what the contract is all day, I'm never going to – there's no satisfaction ever. There's going to be no happiness whatsoever. There's going to be no acceptance at all. I have to compare to what it was last year and to a certain degree last week. So, compared to what last week was, where he got in his own way and in turn got in everybody else's way, yes, this was an acceptable performance.
Well, you said last week
they also won.
You already closed the book.
On 2020, Watson?
Yeah.
Done.
You already closed the book. I'm holding out. I still am holding out a little bit of hope.
There are times, like any time... If there is an old basketball, I don't know, he's not that old. He just turned 29. But if there's an old basketball, like Jordan every now and then when he was with the Wizards, like every now and then he still has it. Every now and then he can still turn it on. LeBron, he just turns it on anytime he wants still, and he's 40 years old. But times have changed. I think that's what you're going to get with Watson. Like yesterday there was the one gain for 5 yards where it's like, oh, okay, there it is. There that is. And the one play that he had were on the run that he's able to hit Jerry Jeudy and then take a hit, absorb it, and then be able to hit David Bell on the run, put him in a position where it's first and goal. I go, that's got a little bit to it. But the consistency of 2020, no, I'm not going to – I hope that it comes back and we can open that door. I'm just not going to get my hopes up, no. Because if I'm making that comparison – I'm going to sit here and be a curmudgeon over every single win they get. Because they'll probably win next week, you're right. And they'll probably win against the Raiders, you're right. And they'll probably win against Washington, you're right. They're going to be favored in all these games. What, I'm going to sit here like a stick in the mud over the next three football games when they're 4-1?
And talk about Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, and sit there and talk about the old quarterback? No, I'm not going to do that. If people want to do it, I'm not going to stop anybody else from doing it, but I'm not going to do it. I make my comparisons based on what I've seen with him in a Browns jersey.
But that's
why I
that's
say
the hard
he's acceptable
part about
yesterday.
You know, it's so early in the season that it seems silly to be projecting, you know, throughout the playoffs and the Super Bowl. But obviously, like, don't we all agree, and even the biggest Deshaun apologist, don't we all agree that Watson has to be so much better for this team to win a Super Bowl or contend for a Super Bowl?
Yes.
But I feel like we all know that. So it's almost pointless to bring it up week in and week out until we get to, like, a certain benchmark, and you can tell me when that is. Obviously, October 13th, that game against Philly. I mean, I know it's the NFL, so it's silly. Browns could easily lose one of the next three. But if you're thinking like college football, it's like, all right, they got Western Michigan next. You know, they've got, an FCS team. And then that's kind of how I'm thinking about it, which is silly. That's not really how the league works.
Yeah, but you got a tough stretch here. I mean, you got Philly, you got you got Baltimore, you got the Bengals and the Ravens, then the Chargers.
And all of a sudden, the Saints on November 17th
after
the bye.
Saints have a high-flying offense all of a sudden. So, yeah, I guess you take that into consideration.
There's seven straight losable games over the middle of the year after this. That's why they needed to win yesterday. They need to take advantage of this schedule over the next month.
Against those teams, as we sit right now, you'll have to be better than what you were yesterday. Coop in Chagrin Falls.
How we doing, boys?
Hi, Coop. You're next up on the Fan.
Let's get after it. Here we go. Dude, if you call that acceptable yesterday, dude, week one, I was panicked. I'm like, we are starting all the way over next year. Sell Miles. Get rid of everybody. We're going to suck. yesterday, dude, you saw the flashes of the guy that we traded for, dude. If you remember, midway through the fourth quarter, defense was starting to get a little gassed. Deshaun started to put together that little drive, dude. That second and 20 that he threw to Jerry Jeudy before the one where he escaped for the 5-yard gain that Anthony was just talking about.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm telling you, this guy, I'm going to call back in October, November-ish, and I'm telling you, dude, this dude is only going to get better. We've got to keep him healthy. And for these morons that want to get rid of Stefanski, what are we talking about, dude? He's the best guy. He brought stability like Marty Schottenheimer did back in the 80s. That was before my time. Let's go, Browns. Super Bowl, Super Browns, baby. Let's go.
Coop, thank you very much for the call. By the way, it was in Chagrin Falls on Friday. Me and Tom Genovese, my photographer, we were invited to a house. I don't know why.
I don't know why. You certainly know why. The point there about him improving every week and just got to keep him healthy. I did tell you right before the show, I said, we did a lot of topics over the offseason about how the offense needs to look when it comes to his scrambling, using his feet, design runs. And I think Stefanski's told you, first 2 weeks, we are not taking the safety off. Like, we are going to put him out there, and he is going to take hits. Like, they're not going to put him in a bubble.
It's true.
They're not doing that.
But I do think that with the type of offense that they had, I think that that was a Kevin Stefanski offense up and down yesterday. And I think, in turn, that naturally helps protect the quarterback. I don't think that he was open to hits the way he was on Sunday against the Cowboys. I don't. 216-474-0092. We can discuss that when we come back. Was Deshaun Watson's performance yesterday acceptable? That's Kevin Stefanski in the post game yesterday. Did you like that? He's certainly more emotional than he was after wins back in the day.
Well, they knew they needed that one. They knew they were also going up against a desperate team. They knew what this town was like over the last week. And how about that punt? I mean, that punt was absolutely humongous in winning that game because of what it led to. You know, Jacksonville no longer needs just, you know, one possession either way. But had it not have been a safety, I mean, we are looking at a completely different football game. So that was vitally important. Special teams, huge bounce back, right? Huge bounce back from week one. The only glitch in the system was, did they know the rule about the kicker going over the 50-yard line? Because how could they have, considering he sprinted right down? Hopkins sprinted right after he kicked the football.
There's no way.
Did he know the rule?
Unless he had a brain fart and forgot.
That's why, maybe it was.
He had to have had a brain fart and forgot.
The routine, but it was so funny the way we talked about how, well, Ventrone is here, and we've got Vrabel, and they're going to maximize, you know, their special teams. And then the way that he sprinted after he kicked it made me think he didn't know the rule at all.
I wish I could tell you.
Last week, they put them all out of the back of the end zone, right? Or in the end zone. Mm-hmm. This week, they started off. The first kick was great. It was in the landing zone.
Yes.
And actually stopped him short of the 20. It was a great one.
Perfect.
And then they had what should have been a huge turnover.
Yep.
Maybe they haven't worked on it.
I think they've worked on it, haven't they?
Specifically, like, making sure that the kicker doesn't take off. Maybe he was just so hyped up to get down there and know that they were putting it in a landing zone. He forgot that.
They had to have known. Maybe he just had a brain fart and just decided to take off. Of course, then again, it was noted by Nathan that he almost did it again and had to stop himself. So who the hell knows? I wish I could tell you. I can't tell you. I can't tell you. Jay Glazer spoke yesterday on Fox in the pregame and got a lot of people talking yesterday right before kickoff against the Jaguars.
The original contract that was fully guaranteed for Deshaun Watson actually had protections in there. Even if he got suspended in the 22 or 23 seasons, he still would not lose any of his guarantees. Well, very quietly this offseason in August, they restructured his deal. When they restructured it, they did not put the same protections in for the next several years. So if he has a suspension moving forward, there could be a chance they can go back and get some of those guarantees. Right. Don't know why they got it taken out, but they took it out.
So that was Jake Glazer before the game. And a lot of people went, well, that's interesting. Check those out. Jay Glazer then at 1:15 yesterday put out on social media, quote, "I think I screwed up on how I explained Watson's contract this morning, AM. there was a clause to protect him in 2022-23, even in case of suspension. I said they took out those protections when they restructured deal in August, but that was off as they didn't have that clause in the original deal for 2024-2020 through 2026. My, all caps, and then you wrote bad. My bad.
Well, the whole thing made no sense. When the report came out and it started circulating, I got texts about it.
So there was
nothing taken out
that was already there. It was already not there.
Well, it made no sense. It made no sense because then the guaranteed contract and other things I've seen written about, oh, they can start to take away some of the guarantees. Well, then none of the contracts matter in the NFL then at that point. Because if the guarantee contract's not guaranteed and all sorts of provisions could serve to negate some of those guarantees, then this whole thing was a waste to talk about to begin with. So it didn't surprise me that he came back and essentially retracted it later in the day.
Yeah, it was a little bit odd. It was a little bit odd. So there was no protections anyway for it. So basically what we know is what we know, and that's still what we know. So that's all there is to it. So I don't know if he said anything on television after that. I wasn't watching Fox. I was watching CBS. So I'm not sure about any of it.
He doesn't generally come back on.
Yeah, I think he leaves. He goes to the gym.
Yeah. He's got to get a workout.
So that was it. So the only thing he could do was do it. I didn't know if he was like came back at halftime during the Fox game or whatever. You know, what do they do? They have the OT. I think they have their wrap-up show at the end of the broadcast before Football Night in America over on NBC. So I didn't see him come on. That's the only thing I could read was that. And I think you guys are right. I think his job's basically done after the pregame show.
What'd you think overall, just for as rough of a week as it was for Watson with the headlines and forced every football pundit and podcast and anybody that does this, you know, we're not talking just in Cleveland now, everywhere around the NFL, Browns fans had to be reminded about this, and NFL fans had to be reminded about how much of a mess this has been up to this point. You know, I wondered how that was going to impact Deshaun. And then he came out, and I thought the drive, the opening drive, and I thought it was, I called it a masterclass by Stefanski.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
On social media, but
masterclass. I love it.
I thought it did get him more comfortable and confident because the Deshaun Watson we saw in the first week was not that. We wondered, was he going to be able to drown out all that stuff that was out there? I mean, imagine what a tough week that was for Watson. That's talk about his father passing away, his buddy. He had a buddy that also passed away that he was dealing with. And so to have to hear this stuff all week and then to bounce back with that opening drive. I mean, imagine if that opening drive is a three and out.
That's why
how different that game could have gone.
And that's why I wrap all this up into an acceptable performance. I thought it was an acceptable day. It's not something that's going to be memorable. We're not going to talk about it like we did the three games, parts of games that were last year and the times that he was able to play. I think that this was an acceptable performance considering everything. Considering the contract, no. But I don't know what is. Considering the contract or considering the history or whatever it is, I can just go by what I've seen or haven't been able to see recently. But what I saw from the entire week leading up from the Dallas game, the Dallas game that was basically terrible from the word go for him, and then to this game, I found was an acceptable performance. With the exception of the third down, I wish you wouldn't have done that on third down. But other than that, it was an acceptable day for me. Peter in Perrysburg, you're next up on the fan. Hello, Peter.
Hi, it's Pete Dane and the Slippery Wizard, my favorite jazz fusion duo.
Thank you very much, Peter. Go right on ahead.
I agree with you, Pete Dane, that acceptable Watson performance. He was, 22 of 33 or 34 with that last half. There were at least seven or eight drops that come to my head that were stone-cold drops. Hit them in the hands and they just drop them. And I know, you know, Anthony mentioned that would make the stat line look better, but I also think it would have changed the game enormously considering how bad they played in the third quarter. Can we talk about what happened at halftime where they came out, they got the ball four times, and they could only move it one time? They went 3-and-out twice. They had a 5-play drive after.
Also, well, the other team's allowed to make adjustments too.
Well, yes, but also you're allowed to, you know, plan for those adjustments if you're kicking the crap out of them. Like, what, they came out like lifeless. They were the offense and defense were crushing the Jaguars, and it was only 10-3, but we were crushing them at halftime. What happened? But Watson played really well.
Well, in that first half, they left at least, 10 points on the board, I think it felt like?
That's what I'm saying. Like, that game should have been over at halftime. It felt like it was over at halftime. And then that entire third and fourth quarter, like, I was just pulling my hair out. I'm sure, I mean, Anthony, you shouldn't be pulling your hair out with all the Vanscoy hair, you know, care.
It'll grow back. That's what's so great about Vanscoy.
That's
fantastic.
Peter, thank you very much for the call.
The drops. I've seen a lot of people say that. The only problem is I've been seeing people say that about Browns quarterbacks for the entire time we've been on the station as well.
Why can't you mention drops?
But you can mention them, but you're not watching all the other games and mentioning them for every other quarterback. And so the stat lines would all be adjusted. So if you're only looking at Deshaun Watson and his drops, or the Browns quarterback and his drops, but you're not paying attention to all the other games, well, the stats, they would normalize
funny
across
you say
the
that,
board.
Because when you do, we've had the argument about drops so often, is when I see another game and I see a quarterback, or I see a wide receiver drop one, or a tight end drop one, or someone like that, I go, that has to be noted for whoever. If we were in that town, I would notice that.
Yes.
Like if we were in Cincinnati and somebody had a drop down there, then you would have to circle that play.
But yeah, Joe Burrow yesterday had, I think, three. One was kind of in the sun. I think it was Gesicki. He had dropped one. I'm like, that could have changed the game right there.
But I think that
we don't do that. As Browns fans, we're only paying attention to our game. And so we think that only our quarterback is being victimized by that. And so his stats would be so much better. It's like, well, everybody's would be
around
the league.
Well, they'd be better. I don't know if they'd be so much better. It's the same thing as like interceptions at the end of a first half. You're just heaving one into the end zone. It's like, well, it goes down as a pick, but is it really a pick? It's kind of a cheap. It's kind of a cheap one there. But the drop by Amari
Cooper,
those
shouldn't count. By the way,
it was such a. I remember you did say that the perfect pass. It was a perfect pass to Amari Cooper. Yeah. He bobbled it. Then he had the other bobble later on. I think we've got 3 drops in 2 games here for Amari.
Yeah, yeah, it's very uncharacteristic.
We're gonna have to ask Daryl about that coming up at 8 o'clock, man. Eric in Fairview Park, you're next up on the Fan. Hello.
Hey, I just wanted to talk about, I think, one of the underrated plays that Watson made was on third down. It was a mesh play where the receivers were crossing in the middle of the field. He actually didn't get the first down, but he put it into 4th-and-1, and then we put Jameis Winston out there to get the QB sneak. I think that was a clutch play because it set up the 4th-and-1, which kept the clock running, which led to the victory. That was clutch late in the game.
This was late in the game, you said? All right, I'm going to have to go back and look at it because my notes, I took as many notes as I could. There was a good 10 to 15 minute chunk I just missed in the middle of it, but it's not my fault. I want to blame my internet provider on that, Eric. I'll take a look back at it. I thought, again, there were plays that he made. The one on the run to Jerry Jeudy, I thought was a little bit of luck. The one on the run to David Bell, I thought was very, very nice. There was a couple other ones
I thought was very nice.
The
Jeudy
play to Amari Cooper would have been great if he'd held on to the damn ball. It would have been amazing.
Did you think the Jeudy one was getting picked off on the first drive?
I was very nervous about
that. I did. When he released that ball, I go, oh, no. Oh, no.
I don't
and then
do
when
what
you
ifs.
Saw it from the other, when you saw it from the end zone cam, it looked like it should have been picked off.
But that pass being completed was probably the best thing for him. It's like, all right, they're loosens him up a little bit. Let's keep him smart, but also, all right, I can do this. This is fine because, boy, if that thing would have been picked off, who the hell knows how he would have reacted for the rest of the day. Jonas and Lima, you're next up on the Fan. Hello.
Hey, what's good, guys?
Hi, Jonas.
Hey, I think Deshaun's performance was acceptable. I like the way he spread the ball out. He looked a little bit more composed this week than last week. I mean, he got David Bell and engaged Elijah Moore. And to your point, Lima, a lot of that's because of Stefanski's scripting. But there were no turnovers. You know, there could have been opportunities for turnovers, but we had 2 bad picks last week. He had no bad picks this week, a little bit better percentage. And I also put it into context with even with the old Deshaun back in Houston, it usually took him like 2, 3, 4 games to get into the Watson that we all know. But with everything that went down last week, how bad they looked with Dallas, and going down to Jacksonville in that environment, in that heat, with all that pressure, and him still coming up with the dub outside of that last, 2 minutes of the game, which almost made me have an aneurysm. I think it's acceptable, and if we can build off of this, there's good things that we can look into. It's not MVP status yet, but I still think he's going to finish top eight quarterback in the league when it's all said and done. Maybe even top, top eight. I'll say that.
All right, that's still pretty lofty, Jonas, but I will accept the comment and the call. By the way, that there was a cross over to Amari Cooper that made it fourth and inches later on that they were able to get with Jameis Winston, where he snuck for a yard and then kept that drive going. And then they committed, the three straight penalties, which set my soul on fire and certainly got everybody else in a dander. Chuck in Chardon. That's a weird way to spell it there. Mitch, you got to go quick. Chuck, you're next up on the Fan.
Good morning. Hey.
Hey, Ken. Chuck. Hey.
I think he took a cold shower this morning. This team persevered yesterday. We lose that game normally. Our kicker got a penalty. We had 13 other penalties. Our most reliable receiver had 7 drops. Watson played better than
he had 7 drops. Average.
What?
Amari Cooper had 7 drops?
No, 3. At least 3.
But he said 7.
But my point is, if he catches that one ball, he goes in for a touchdown. If the kicker doesn't get called for that penalty, we got the ball in their territory. I think that's the reason it was a close game. But again, the whole team persevered. We've made a play on special teams. The defense hung in there. I mean, I'm not saying Super Bowl, but I was encouraged. We lose that game. 3 years ago, that ball was completed in the end zone to beat us at the end of the game. Well, I'm encouraged.
If you lose the game, I don't know what we're saying today. By the way, that was a first down. Amari Cooper should have just turned up the field on that play, as I remember it now, because I think that was the one where he kept going sideways.
Mm-hmm.
It kept going east-west instead of north-south because he was trying to gain more yards and looking for an opening and ended up getting tackled and fell short of the first
down. I thought
the
spot
down
was bad. I thought it was a bad spot because
once you keep running, then you're open game, so it's where you land. It's where you finish.
What, forward progress isn't a thing there?
He went backwards.
If he goes backwards, though,
and they engaged him. They didn't make contact until he was behind the line.
I don't know. I was thinking that was challenge-worthy at that point.
Time.
All right. Coming up next, Fix My Life. Maybe we'll ask Daryl about it. He could go ahead and judge it later on.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML,
fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing life.
My life.
All right, so I'll admit, it was definitely a little odd to see one of the Browns players rocking a Guardian cap during the game yesterday. We wondered if we were going to see that, and it happened to be JOK, not Denzel Ward, that wore one, which had me thinking, now that a player is actually wearing them for a game, do you think you're going to see more kids? If it's suitable in the NFL, do you think you're going to see more of a yearning for this from different levels of football here locally? And with that, I defer my time over to Ken Carman, who is a big-time coach in the area.
Flat out didn't even notice until like the second quarter.
You didn't notice?
Did not even notice.
It was the only thing I noticed.
I did not notice it. I really did not.
The internet noticed.
I did not. Well, I'm doing my best not to look at tweets during games because I don't want to start getting in tits for tats with people. Yeah. So I'm watching the game, and all of a sudden he came up on a play, and I went, oh, he's wearing a Guardian cap. And then I looked at Twitter, and there were people tweeting at me about the Guardian cap. I had no idea. I didn't even notice. And I think that the people who, I should say, the guys just put dresses on them are probably guys that made it through one padded practice in youth football and then called it a day, or the ones are the reasons why parents don't want their kids to play football because they're afraid that the guy running their kids is running them into a brick wall. And that's kind of where I'm at. Anything that protects them, honestly, anything that makes the parents feel safer about playing tackle football is going to be perfectly fine with me. So I'd love to be able to explore ways to get all the kids Guardians caps.
I mean, don't
at all
you
levels,
think, Kenny,
but at the same time, if you want to buy your kid a Guardian cap, go ahead.
This was huge for the company, obviously. This is huge for there's going to be studies done when enough players start to wear these in real games at different levels to see if it actually works. But it had to happen. You needed to see it at the NFL level for this thing to have any shot whatsoever of catching on at the lower levels, no?
Owen's a catcher. Or Owen's a coach, too. Yeah, I would think it has to.
A
so
catcher, too.
Owen's a coach, too. So what'd you think?
Yeah, I was like, just like Ken, I didn't notice it until they were in a goal line situation and they zoomed in on JOK coming up to, like, in a stunt to show his blitz. And then I was like, oh, there he has it on. And then once I knew it was there, his helmet definitely was a little bit bigger than everybody else on the field.
Had the Mark Kelso going. Yeah,
but I didn't notice that, you know, Pittsburgh, the right guard in Pittsburgh is wearing one. There's a few guys, I know somebody from the Colts is wearing one too. Few guys around the league that are wearing it in game. I don't think there's a problem with more safety, right? Like, I saw a quote 2 weeks ago that was like, you know, when they invented the seatbelt, a lot of people didn't want to wear that either. And it turns out, hey, probably a pretty good call. Saved a lot of lives with it. That this a little less of a scale on life saving, but long term could be that. I don't think it's a big problem. We have kids. I haven't seen anybody in one of our games wearing it, but our football club made a big push this year to make sure they got maroon guardian caps that match the color of our helmets so that you aren't such a sore thumb sticking out and having to deal with that. Because that's probably the bigger problem for youth kids is not so much the safety. I don't know that they really care about the safety. The parents care about it. The youth kids care more about, will I be accepted by the rest of the team if I'm wearing that thing?
I remember last year we played against a team. By the way, shout out to Axel's team, 3-0 now. Third and fourth grade Rockets, 3-0. Nice. Had a great big win on Saturday. Fifth and sixth tried. They played really, really tough. Just came up short in the end. We'll fix some things, get back, take a look at the tape, get some things going. But Axel's team, 3-0 right now. And last year there was a kid who was wearing one. Axel's going, like, on the way home, he goes, what was that thing that guy was wearing? I go, that's called a guardian cap, and you all probably wear them someday. Like, I didn't even think twice about it. I was like, you guys will all probably wear them someday, or there will be some form of maybe an outer shell, just a bigger helmet than what I think people are used to seeing.
If you
right
were
now
to make a bet right now on where this is 10 years from now, especially if it's conclusive,
they're all going to be wearing dresses, put flags on them.
Well, do you think this will be like,
that's what they'll say.
Do you think we'll be much closer to like 100% of the players wearing them than, like, these are out of the league and just guys didn't like the way they looked or felt?
No. I think there will be different science to it.
I think there'll be a redesign of the helmet at some point.
Yes.
As opposed to just throwing this. Mm-hmm. I think this is a quick fix to a bigger, you know, solution.
They will find ways to make it, I guarantee, a little bit more. Because, again, I didn't notice because I'm watching through a TV, and the TV, the picture is great because I got it from Extend Technology. But it's also on, it's in a rain game. So, it was overcast and hazy. And so everything was like kept down, and I wasn't even looking for it. I wasn't paying attention. I was paying attention to the D-line. And by the time I saw it, it was probably the second quarter, and it didn't look too terrible at all.
On a sunny day, it might have stuck out a little more because they went back to the gloss helmet. They're away from the matte helmet. I don't think you noticed that it wasn't matte yesterday because of the way it was overcast.
True.
With the gloss helmet, everybody else wearing a gloss one, it might stick out a little more in the sun.
But. Yeah, but in a decade from now, I think you're right. Like, there will be advances in this that will probably make it even safer and even more aesthetically pleasing to everybody involved, is what I think.
But
you're
just wonder, could they take the outside of it and put it on the inside, or does that then nullify the benefits?
I don't know, because I'm like, well, why can't you just make the shell put more on the inside and make the shell the outer shell? And do it like that, but I'm going,
Remember when Wes Welker went to Denver, he put on a helmet that was like three times the size of everybody else's helmet.
Yeah.
And he was the anomaly in the league then. I think we're pretty close to the league probably skewing more 50-50 right now. And then as the younger players come up, I mean, guys that are seniors in high school could be in the NFL in the next 5 years.
Yeah.
And those guys are wearing guardian caps every day now. They grew up in that.
You're right. You're right.
We'll see a change in the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
Did it surprise you it wasn't Denzel Ward wearing it? Instead, it was JOK, especially after the Tua thing.
I mean, it's his decision. But
he's had more confirmed concussions than Tua. Yeah. But when you think about it that way.
Although I don't know Tua wearing a guardian cap, that would have stopped him.
No. He said he changed his helmet, though. He said he's done his own research, and he said it's all there. So, if he feels safe, then God bless him. I hope he is.